Good morning. Welcome to St. James. As we start our new church year, we welcome all of you to this wonderful season of Advent. We know many of you are joining us from all over the world, all over the country, via Zoom, and here in the church as well. Thank you all for being here. We encourage everyone to participate with body, mind, and spirit. And so as the Spirit moves you, reply with gestures as a sign of unity. You can hum as loud as possible here in the church. And of course, if you're at home, you can sing with full voice. So we encourage you to clap your hands if you hear us playing some tambourine, and join in however you can. So we begin this morning's celebration with Emmanuel. Please rise.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with your spirit.
What a blessing we can gather on this first Sunday of Advent. It's a reminder about beginnings as we think about this as the beginning of the church's year. We are being given the opportunity to begin again, to put our faith and our hope and our trust in God. We've been through such a very strange year so far, and gives us an opportunity to remember God isn't finished yet. God continues to work. God is still active and present in our world. And so we can turn to the Lord today and begin again to be people of faith, people of hope, people of love. So let's place ourselves now in an attitude of openness so we can receive God's gift. And let's ask particularly that we can have divine mercy. Almighty God, have mercy, forgive our sin, bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Then let us pray. Let us pray that this season of Advent will be a time when we are renewed in our hope. Let us pray that Jesus will show us how to be people who wait for God's grace. And let us pray that Holy Spirit will give us the eyes to see the coming presence of God. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that, gathered at his right hand, we may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. You, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer, you are named forever. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you, while you wrought awesome deeds we could not hope for, such as they had not. Those who wait for him. Would that you might meet us doing right, that we were mindful of you in our ways. Behold, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags. We have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind. There is none who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to cling to you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us up to our guilt. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you the potter. We are all the work of your hands. The word of the Lord.
To you, let us see your face.
strength, and we shall never forsake you. Give us life that we may call on your name. Oh God, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be
A reading from 1 Corinthians verses 3 through 9. Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to you, my God, always on your account. For the grace of God is bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you will enrich in every way, with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and by him you were called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It's like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home, places his servants in charge, each with his own work, in order his gatekeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether it's in the evening or at midnight, or at the cock crow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. watch. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the Titanic, there were always two lookouts in the crow's nest watching for any danger that might threaten the ship. They were told particularly to be on the watch for ice. In the Battle of Britain, there were a whole cadre of men and women who watched through the radar and through their observatories for any incoming planes, any bombers or fighters that might threaten the country so that they could be prepared. And on a more mundane note, any Louisiana cook will tell you that you have to watch the roux or otherwise you'll burn it. Watching then is an important thing because it can save us from some disaster, some peril. Is that what Jesus had in mind when he said today, be on the watch, be alert. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. There's another kind of watching though. I mean, an astronomer watches the stars. A poet watches a sunset. A theater goer watches a play. A child watches Sesame Street just to become a better person in some way. Different kind of watching. And watching is a mixed bag sometimes. I mean, I like to watch baseball games. It's always an enjoyment to see how athletic these men are. But I have to confess, when I watch the Orioles, I have a very different experience. I go through agony and ecstasy and worry and care and concern. And for the last several years, despair. So watching the same thing, yet feels very different. I remember watching the protest after George Floyd's killing in Minneapolis and being very interested in that. But when I watched the protest and then eventual riot in Chicago, I wasn't interested. I was concerned. I was dismayed. And depending on where you are on the political spectrum, you probably watched the election with either great joy or great sorrow. So watching then is something that doesn't have an obvious outcome. It kind of can depend on where you are to understand what you're watching for. And then there's another kind of watching that demands an action. I mean, if your doctor says to you, watch what you eat, he doesn't mean take a picture of the food. It means more fruit, less fries. If your mother says to you, I'm going out, watch the baby, she doesn't mean carefully observe all that the child does. She means make sure the kid doesn't touch a hot stove or fall down the stairs or drink out of the dog dish. If you're walking down State Street and somebody says, watch where you're going, they don't mean look at the signs and look at the store windows. They mean don't bump into somebody. If your teacher says to you, watch your mouth, you're not supposed to whip out your mirror. You are supposed to be careful about what you say and say it in an appropriate manner. So watching is complicated. In the dictionary, there are 31 different definitions of watch. When Jesus tells us to watch, which one of the 31 did he have in mind? Maybe all of them, because the Bible is written on many levels. The old Latins used to call it the sensus plenior, the fuller meaning that the Bible has than our reading of it can garner. This is the Word of God, so it's always deeper and richer than our explanations. So in Mark 13, did Jesus mean for his contemporaries to watch for God's inbreaking in his ministry in the world? Did that word watch mean that the church was supposed to be attentive to the pattern of God's mighty action through history? Did watch mean something for us, that we're supposed to be alert to the coming of the Son of Man to judge the living and the dead? All perfectly legitimate interpretations, and probably all true. But there's another meaning of watch that I think we have to be attentive to when we look at the parable the way Jesus tells it. Because the way the parable looks, we're supposed to be watching ourselves. Did you notice how the story went? That he sends this master on his way. And before he goes, the master has all of his employees do their job, we're told. Given their task. Making sure they have their chore. And I wonder if that's not what we're supposed to be watching. Are we living up to God's expectations of us? Could that be what Isaiah is driving at in our Old Testament lesson today when he says, Lord, you are the Father. You are the potter. We are the clay. We are the work of your hands. If you've ever thrown a pot, you know that the clay is very malleable. It's very able to be formed in many shapes. The clay can be formed into something tall and slender. The clay can be formed into something short and round. The clay can be formed into something large or into something small. And what Isaiah seems to imply is that we all have been shaped by God in a specific way. And we have to live out how God has shaped us, molded us, and fashioned us. For example, did you notice in St. Paul today, he says, I give thanks to God always. Maybe that's one of the things we have to watch for. We've been shaped and molded by God to be people who give thanks. Now, in the time we're going through, maybe it's a little hard to give thanks. All that's happening. But I give thanks to God always, the apostle says. And maybe that's the challenge that we have. If we're going to be on the watch to see how we are grateful and generous and forgiving and compassionate people as God has shaped us to be. Once upon a time, the school children came running in to see the principal and they said, Jesus is in the parking lot. So she looked out the window and sure enough, so she gathers all the staff and they go into the pastor's office and they say to him, Jesus is in the parking lot. What should we do? The pastor looks out the window. And he turns to them and he says, look busy. The way Jesus tells the parable, all of those servants are not staring on the watch for the master's return. They're going about their business. And that's what we should be on the watch for, going about our business, making sure we're being faithful to work and school, washing the dishes and taking out the trash, reaching out a hand to the neighbor, talking to a friend, living with courage and integrity. Because I think what Jesus wants us to understand, if we watch out for the small things, then the big things will take care of themselves. Amen. We join then together in confessing our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. We are a people that have great hope in what God can do with the likes of us. So let us present our prayers and petitions.
For our church, that through our actions and words we may atone for our sinful ways, especially during this season of watchful expectancy for Christ's coming, we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
that world leaders may hear the cries of those in need, the poor, the homeless, the persecuted, and the broken, and see the face of the Lord in their suffering. We pray to the Lord. For all who are burdened with guilt, that they may turn to God and come to realize the boundlessness of God's extravagant forgiveness. We pray to the Lord. For those around the world who suffer from illness, that they may know the tender, compassionate presence of God. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in our community who receive plenty to eat on Thanksgiving from our generosity, but struggle to feed their families and themselves every other day, that they may be remembered throughout the year, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Mercy Hospital, that after 170 years, it will be spared from closure so our community can continue to have access to excellent health care. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of St. James, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers that we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in our book of prayers, and for all the needs of our parish and community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord God, your church joyfully awaits the coming of its Savior who enlightens our hearts and dispels the darkness of ignorance and sin. We praise you for your Son, Jesus. He is Emmanuel, the hope of the people. He is the wisdom that teaches and guides us. He is the Savior of every nation. Lord God, let your blessing come upon us as we light the first of the candles of this wreath. May the wreath and its light be a sign of Christ's promise to bring us salvation. May he come quickly and not delay. We ask all this in the holy name of Jesus, who is our Lord and lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Please be seated.
Let us pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. May the Lord accept this sacrifice from our hands for the praise, the glory of God's name, for our good, the good of all the
Holy Church.
Accept, we pray, O Lord, these offerings we make, gathered from among your gifts to us, and may what you grant us to celebrate devoutly here below gain for us the prize of eternal redemption. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just. It is our duty and our salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Eternal God, through Jesus. For he assumed at his first coming the lowliness of human flesh, and so fulfilled the design you formed long ago and opened for us the way to eternal salvation, that when he comes again in glory and majesty and all is at last made manifest, we who watch for that day may inherit the great promise to which now we dare to hope. And so with angels and archangels, thrones and dominions, with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim.
Oh, Son,
indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you do things and make them holy. You never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you. By that same Holy Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, and let them become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For in the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said a blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the chalice. Giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy, this living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with our husband, Saint Joseph, the blessed apostles, Saint James, and all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, your servant Pope Francis, Cardinal Blaise, the order of bishops, all clergy and religious, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family that you've summoned before you today. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters and all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow upon the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed
be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of Jesus be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a wave of peace.
The wave of peace. God, behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life.
Amen.
The prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Please be sure to follow the directions of the ushers when going to communion here in the church. Thank you.
Let us pray. May these mysteries, O Lord, in which we have participated, profit us. For even now, as we walk amid passing things, you teach us by them to love the things of heaven and to hold fast to what endures. Through Christ our Lord. On this first Sunday of Advent, there are some devotional books. You're more than welcome to take one or two, however many you need. one for each hand, to help you to pray during this Advent season. They're at the door as you leave. This Friday is the first Friday of the month, and we always have Eucharistic devotion from 7 to 10. Please go to the... 7 to 9, I'm sorry. My fault. We changed it to 9. Please go to the website and sign up for however long you'd like to participate in the Eucharistic devotion. Next Sunday, we're going to have one of our continuing conversations about race. You can go to the website and get more information about that Sunday afternoon, next Sunday afternoon. And then the following Tuesday, December 8th, is our national holiday, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And we'll have an evening mass that day for any who would like to participate. That will be at 6:30 on December 8th.
Mm-hmm. Just have a quick announcement on the Advent prayer.
And Advent prayer.
On Tuesday at 6:30. We might have to readjust next week, but we're doing it every Tuesday at 6:30. On Zoom.
On Zoom on Tuesdays at 6:30, we want to have a special Advent prayer to invite all of our families to participate in the season of Advent. So that's every Tuesday at 6:30. Okay. And? And Bible study continues next Monday. So if you have... And so if you want to participate in that, go to the website, and I'll send you the class notes. I'm sure there's something else I've forgotten. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
God's blessing upon us all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Straight in the desert, a highway for our God.